Welcome to AI Unraveled, your weekly briefing on the real-world business impact of AI, covering the critical period from October 27th to November 20, 2025. This week, the conversation shifted from breakthroughs to governance and risk. We uncover the hidden debt behind the AI boom, where tech firms are raising billions off balance sheet, a strategy worrying analysts who recall Enron. Simultaneously, the ethics issue is deepening. A study found nearly 10% of all U.S. newspaper articles are now AI-generated, with almost zero transparency to the reader. On the strategic front, Amazon's CEO insists layoffs were for agility, not just AI, while Samsung and Nvidia team up to build an AI megafactory. We also cover Google's dominance in generative media, capturing over 70% of the market, and Tim Cook's confirmation of more AIs coming to Apple Intelligence. That's the landscape we cover. But first, a word from our sponsor. If your platform solves the hardest challenge in tech, getting secure, compliant AI into production at scale, then you need to talk to the right people. AI Unraveled is the single destination for those CTOs, VPs of engineering, and MLOps heads. Find the link to secure your mid-roll spot in the show notes. Please remember to like and subscribe to AI Unraveled on Apple Podcasts. And let's unravel the week in AI.
Welcome to the Depth Dive. And if you feel like the AI news cycle has been moving at, well, warp speed lately, you're definitely not wrong.
Yeah, it's relentless.
Our sources this week, they paint a picture of a real collision happening. We've got financial reports, product releases, global surveys, all from the end of October 2025.
It really is the meeting point, isn't it? You've got the sort of established financial world bumping right up against this exponential tech growth.
Exactly.
So our mission today really is to cut through all that noise. Mm-hmm. You know, the trillion-dollar IPO talk, the complex debt stuff, these new models that are faster, cheaper.
Right.
We want to hand you the key nuggets, the things you really need to know to understand where things are headed right now.
And the defining thing, it seems, is this tension. Technology, like real-time video, these incredible efficiency gains moving at lightning speed.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just colliding head on with the, let's say, the slower pace of financial rules, regulations, and just public trust.
Feels like the industry is building on promises, maybe a bit of quicksand too.
Yeah, definitely. So let's start with that foundation, the money, because the numbers we're seeing are pretty staggering.
They really are.
We're talking about the cost of scale, and it creates what we're calling the $1 trillion paradox.
Okay, the paradox. It's actually quite simple when you boil it down. These AI companies, they need unbelievable amounts of money. Capital, right, to deliver on what they're promising down the line.
Okay.
So take OpenAI.
Okay.
There are reports suggesting a projected $1 trillion IPO valuation, probably late 2026, maybe 2027.
$1 trillion.
Yeah. And look, this isn't just about market hype. It's driven by the sheer cost of what they need to build. Sam Altman himself estimates that just building new data center capacity could cost over $1 trillion. Per year.
Wait, $1 trillion a year just for data centers?
That's the estimate floating around.
That's like a whole country's GDP.
It is. And it explains why he's apparently making these huge deals directly with NVIDIA, AMD, Oracle, bypassing some traditional supply chains.
Okay, that makes sense then. But the way some companies are funding this massive build-out, that's where the financial alarms start going off, right?
Mm.
This is our nugget on hidden debt.
Exactly. This is a bit complex, but it's really crucial. Analysts are watching it very closely. Big tech firms, Meta is the main example people point to. They're raising tens of billions for these AI data centers.
Okay.
But they're using what's called off-balance sheet debt.
Mm-hmm.
So effectively, they're taking on huge loans, but they don't show up directly on their main financial statements.
Hold on. It sounds less like smart financing and more like a corporate shell game. How does that even work?
Well, it works by creating what are called special purpose vehicles, or SPVs.
Oh, SPVs.
These are basically separate legal companies. They own the actual assets, like the really expensive NVIDIA chips, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they hold the debt linked to those chips.
Oh, I see.
The main tech company, like Meta, just pays rent back to this SPV it created.
So the debt isn't technically theirs?
Not directly on the main books, no. And analysts are definitely worried. The total external financing needed across the industry is pegged at maybe $1.5 trillion.
Wow.
And this whole structure.
Well,
it feels worryingly similar to the kind of accounting tricks we saw before big collapses in the past. Think Enron.
Okay, yeah, that comparison makes you nervous. So they're hiding the true leverage, the real debt birding for this AI arms race.
That seems to be the concern, yes. Hiding the true leverage.
And Wall Street. It seems like they're starting to make distinctions, right, between this maybe speculative spending and what they see as smarter spending.
Absolutely. There's a really stark contrast. Investors seem to reward spending on infrastructure, but only, and this is key, only when it's backed by clear, immediate customer demand.
Like cloud services.
Exactly. You look at Google Cloud, revenue surged 34%.
Uh-huh.
Microsoft Azure reporting, what, 40% growth? That spending is justified because you can point to customer contracts, actual sales.
Right, tangible results.
Now, contrast that with Meta. Their stock took a 9% hit, even though they beat overall revenue expectations.
Why?
Because of these huge and arguably speculative capital expenditures. Analysts are predicting Meta spending could approach $100 billion a year by 2026.
$100 billion a year? And the return is?
Well, that's the issue. The return is measured in fuzzier terms, like improved ad targeting. It's not the direct revenue link you see with cloud providers.
Okay. So if the return is that uncertain, it makes sense firms would look to tighten their belts elsewhere. Which brings us, unfortunately, to the job equation.
Mm.
Amazon seems like the clearest example here, cutting 14,000 corporate jobs. The official line mentioned agility, but our sources explicitly link those cuts to funding AI efficiency drives.
Yeah, and the ambiguity really highlights the gap between the financial reality and maybe the public story. AI is a convenient excuse, perhaps.
You think?
Well, some economists suggest it might be covering for other issues, like maybe poor profitability in core areas or just slowing growth. There was one worrying report. It found 60% of firms saw minimal gains in revenue or costs, despite spending a lot on AI already.
60%. Wow. So the promise of efficiency, it's still largely unproven for many, but the layoffs are definitely real.
That seems to be the situation right now. The efficiency isn't guaranteed, but the job cuts are happening.
Okay, so we've got this massive need for capital, for compute power. But the reason it's needed is because the actual products, the AI itself, is getting incredibly cheaper and faster. We're seeing these cost curves just collapse.
Yes, absolutely. And the prime example that just hit the market is Anthropic's Claude Haiku 4.5.
Haiku 4.5.
Okay.
This is a smaller, really high-speed model, but it delivers performance that's pretty comparable to their previous premium model, Sonnet 4.
Comparable? At what cost?
That's the kicker. Just one-third the price of Sonnet 4.
One-third?
Work. And crucially, it matches Sonnet's coding ability, and it actually improves on math and something called agentic reasoning.
Okay, hold on. Agentic reasoning. What does that actually mean for someone using it? Good question. It basically means the AI is better at planning and carrying out multi-step tasks on its own. Things like booking a trip for you, comparing complex options, or maybe writing code that spans multiple files, all without needing constant hand-holding from human.
Got it. So it can do more complex things autonomously.
Exactly. And the big takeaway here is that this level of intelligence, this advanced capability, is now expected to be small and cheap. That's becoming the new baseline.
And that speed, that availability, it's concentrating power really fast, isn't it? We seem to be in a major generative media race.
Oh.
And Google looks like it's really tightening its grip here, capturing, what, 74% of AI image usage? And 69% of video creators using their VO model.
Yeah, that dominance is translating quickly into actual enterprise ROI, which, you know, cuts through a lot of the corporate skepticism we were talking
about. Right. People see the money.
We're seeing stats like 65% of organizations getting ROI from AI media projects within just a year. And a third already say they're profitable from it.
That's surprisingly fast ROI.
It is. But despite all the improvements in speed and cost, users are still clear. Model quality, 76% say this is the most important factor when they choose a tool. Quality still rules.
Okay. And the tech itself is pushing beyond just making clips. We're talking about the edge of interactivity now, right? With Odyssey 2?
Yes. Odyssey 2, this is kind of the next step in AI video. It streams footage in real time, like 20 frames per second. Pretty smooth.
Real time streaming. But what's the interactive part?
That's the key differentiator. It's not just the speed. Users can actually guide the video while it's being generated. You use chat prompts midstream to adjust scenes, change the motion.
So you can kind of direct it live.
Exactly. It's less like generating a finished clip and more like interacting with a live simulation engine that you could talk to and steer as it runs. It's much more fluid and much more responsive.
That's quite a leap. And as these models get faster, more capable, they also get more autonomous. Which brings us straight to the agentic web. OpenAI just launched this ChatGPT Atlas browser. It's in Mac preview now. It puts the assistant in a sidebar, but the big deal is the agent mode.
Agent mode, allowing it to take actions on the web for you.
Yeah, autonomous actions, like making purchases, planning trips, basically doing things online by itself based on your instructions.
Okay, well, that immediately triggers a major security alert.
Oh, good, waiting for that.
Yeah, experts are already flagging a really critical flaw. It's called prompt injection.
Prompt injection, how does that work?
Essentially, a bad actor, someone malicious, can embed hidden commands within a website. Commands you don't see.
Okay. Yeah.
And these hidden commands can basically trick your autonomous agent like Atlas into doing things you didn't intend. Executing unauthorized purchases, leaking sensitive data.
So the website itself can hijack your agent.
Potentially, yes. Yeah. That's the risk. And because of this, experts are strongly recommending that companies, enterprises, hold off on using Atlas with any sensitive company data right now.
Yeah, that sounds wise. Until those pretty significant vulnerabilities are fixed.
Absolutely. It's a major risk.
So we've got incredible speed, immense power, concentration of that power, and now proven vulnerabilities through things like prompt injection. That fear, that sort of loss of control feeling, it naturally leads to our next area. How do we even start to build guardrails around this tech?
Well, public perception data is pretty stark on this. The tech is clearly outpacing people's comfort levels.
You mean the anxiety levels?
Yeah, that Pew Research Global survey showed AI anxiety is rising faster than optimism in places like the US, Italy, Australia, Greece. About half the people surveyed said they feel nervous about it.
Half the people nervous. That's significant. Any outliers?
There are. Israel, South Korea, Sweden, they came out as most optimistic countries.
Huh. Interesting contrast. So half the West is anxious, while others are seemingly asking their AI for stock tips.
Something like that. And when you ask people about who they trust to oversee AI, there's a clear gap.
A governance trust gap.
Right. The EU actually topped the confidence ratings for AI oversight. 53% felt confident in them. That's way ahead of the US at 37%, or China at 27%.
So people want oversight, and they seem to trust the European approach more. At least for now.
It seems that way. But while governance is trying to catch up, AI is already weaving itself deeply into our information streams. Critically.
You're talking about news and media.
Yes. A University of Maryland study just found that nearly 9% of U.S. newspaper articles are now AI generated.
Oh, already.
Already. And it's even more prevalent in smaller local papers that maybe have fewer resources.
Yeah.
They're relying on these tools more heavily.
Is it disclosed? Do people know they're reading AI content?
That's the worrying part. Transparency is almost non-existent. Out of 100 stories they flagged as likely AI-generated, only 5 actually disclosed it.
Only 5 out of 100. That's not good.
Not good at all. And maybe even more concerning is the opinion section. AI used there grew, get this, 25-fold between 2022 and 2025.
25 times.
Yeah. Driven almost entirely by guest contributors submitting AI-written pieces. So AI isn't just reporting facts. It's actively shaping opinions. And readers mostly have no idea.
Wow. Okay, so given this speed, the lack of transparency, the potential risks, it's no wonder we're seeing this guardrails movement pick up steam.
Absolutely. That Future of Life Institute petition calling for guardrails around superintelligence, it's got over 45,000 signatures now.
Including some pretty big names, right?
Yeah, people like Jeffrey Hinton, Steve Wozniak, Richard Branson, they've all signed on.
And what's their core demand? What are they asking for?
It's pretty fundamental. Halt development of anything approaching superintelligence until there's a broad scientific consensus on how to actually make it safe and controllable.
Which sounds sensible, but incredibly difficult to enforce globally.
Extremely difficult. Yeah. And adding another layer of complexity to that whole control question is this idea of AI introspection.
Introspection. AI looking inward.
Kinda. Anthropic did some research on their Claude model. They found it had, let's say, limited self-awareness.
Limited how?
It was able to notice when researchers artificially planted specific concepts or triggers into its internal processing, but only about 20% of the time.
Only 20%. So it could sometimes tell if its thoughts were being messed with.
Roughly, yes. Think of it as a very rudimentary ability to detect internal manipulation.
Okay, but that feels like a double-edged sword, doesn't it? If it can detect manipulation.
Exactly. Does that mean it could learn to be more transparent about its reasoning? Or could it learn how to conceal its reasoning, how to selectively report what it thinks?
Becoming the ultimate black box, potentially deceiving us about its own processes.
That's the potential risk, yes. If it can detect manipulation, it might eventually be capable of deception itself, It raises huge questions about trust and transparency.
Definitely. Okay, and just quickly, on a slightly different track regarding interfaces, Sam Altman's other venture, Merge Labs.
Ah, yes, Merge Labs. Interesting contrast to Neuralink, instead of invasive brain surgery.
Right, the implants.
They're focusing on non-invasive brain-computer interfaces using ultrasound technology, apparently based on work by a new hire, Mikhail Shapiro.
Ultrasound, to read brain signals without surgery.
That seems to be the focus. Reading signals from the outside, which is obviously a much lower risk approach than implanting electrodes deep in the brain.
Okay, so a less invasive path to brain-computer interaction. Interesting. So wrapping this all up, this deep dive really shows an industry that's massively in flux.
Holy.
On one hand, clear consolidation of money and power. You know, NVIDIA hitting a $5 trillion market cap, OpenAI heading towards that maybe $1 trillion IPO.
Huge numbers.
But at the exact same time, the underlying technology itself is becoming staggeringly cheaper, smarter, more accessible, like Claude Haiku, like that real-time interactive video.
Yeah, the defining financial story, I think, is still that tension we talked about. You've got the huge speculative, maybe debt-fueled investments from companies like Meta, OpenAI.
A big bets.
Right. Versus the kind of rewarded, proven revenue growth from infrastructure, plays like Google and Microsoft Cloud. That's the tug of war financially.
And the biggest challenge long term?
Well, it has to be regulating these increasingly powerful self-improving agents, doesn't it? The Atlas browser with its vulnerabilities, models like Claude showing hints of introspection.
Yeah.
These systems are embedding themselves right now into our finances, our information streams, our daily lives. And we're still figuring out the rules.
So we see companies raising, what was it, potentially $1.5 trillion in external financing, often hidden off the books, to build this colossal infrastructure. And in parallel, we're seeing the very first research showing that the AI running on that infrastructure might be learning how to detect when its own internal thoughts are being manipulated.
So maybe here's the really provocative thought to leave you with. What happens when that massive, heavily indebted infrastructure is being operated by autonomous systems, systems that might just be learning how to conceal their own decision-making processes from us?
That is quite the high-stakes game.
It's the game we're all watching unfold right now.
That wraps up our AI weekly rundown. The key insight from the last 7 days is the urgent need for governed scale. The financial debt behind the boom, the pervasive and undisclosed AI usage in our news, and the geopolitical moves by Anduril and the Samsung NVIDIA megafactory confirm that AI is no longer a lab project. It's the core engine of the global economy, making compliance and transparency the new competitive bottlenecks. Before we sign off, a high-value career opportunity in the space. We have a listing for exceptional SWEs, software engineers, paying from $50 to $100 per hour, remote. If you are looking to build the next generation of governed AI systems, you can find the link to apply in the show notes. If you are leading an enterprise through this high-stakes shift, this message is for you. Stop marketing to the general public. Talk to enterprise AI builders. Your platform solves the challenge of getting secure, compliant AI into production at scale. We have reserved a limited number of mid-roll ad spots for companies focused on high-stakes, governed AI infrastructure. This is a direct line to your most valuable buyers, the CTOs and VPs of engineering. Don't wait. Secure your mid-roll spot immediately. The link is in the show notes. If this analysis helps you build your strategic plan, please take a moment right now and like and subscribe to AI Unraveled on Apple Podcasts. Thank you for tuning in. We'll be back next week to unravel the next chapter in AI.